Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of me, it is Brandon Kiley. So right before the show, BK said that we only have two-minute commercial breaks in today's show. Normally, when the ad dollars start drying up, we on thin ice around here, bro.
What are you saying?
Christmas season right around the corner. I need these couple of paychecks. You know what I mean? At least wait until after the first of the year to go ahead and tell me my key card doesn't work around here. At least give me these two Christmas paychecks, and then we can move on. I'm telling you, once the ad dollars start drying up, sports machine, and people ain't rocking with the drive no more, once they've heard too many Corey Dillon on penicillin chilling, sipping on... I don't even know. I don't even got the right. I can't do it like you.
All right, somebody on the text line, we got to start with this. C.BK, you can't let Sean off the hook for using Axe body spray. You use Axe body spray, bro?
Who knows that? I mean, yeah, I don't know. Did I say that or somebody stalking me? Yes, I absolutely use Axe body spray every day. I think it's one of the best products on the market.
You can't hold an umbrella, but you can use Axe body spray?
It masks almost anything.
No.
Yeah.
You know what masks a lot of things?
What?
Soap. Water.
Well, yeah, I use that stuff too.
Do you? Because it feels like every
day you
come in.
There's no way you use Axe body spray in 2019. I don't believe this.
And your apartment is crumbling from within.
There's no way.
This how you guys want to start?
Can you do a fake?
What I do to you guys?
I didn't read the text. I was minding my own business. I was drowning. BK saved me. I was trying to do your rhyme.
I think I figured out what happened. Here's what happened.
You use Axe. How old are you, bro?
I think what happened is Binkley asked me the other day if I had any sort of cologne on me. And I said, well, I got Axe body spray. And he used it, and he says it changed his life. Something tells me he came on the
radio. That's a problem.
He came on the radio and told everybody that I was using Axe body spray. Have you tried it, though? I feel like it's one of those things you're knocking before you try.
I use deodorant and cologne and take showers.
Yes, I use Axe.
It's not one or the other,
guys.
When
I was 17 years old, okay. I use Axe. Can you do me a favor? I promise you that I'll buy you cologne if you throw Axe away.
Plenty of people still watch wrestling. I think that's what kids do. You should now watch the UFC once you're an adult. So, fine. If you think that I'm past the age of using Axe, cool.
No, I know. I think it says it on the bottle. I think it says it on the ingredients of it. Once you hit 20... You can't use it, especially in your 30s. You can't be using Axe anymore. Can you do me a favor and throw it away, and I promise I'll buy you some cologne for Christmas?
I have cologne. It's a different product. It's a body spray.
Don't spray it on your body or around
y'all are acting like it's one or the other.
Do you actually spray it on your, like, bare body?
Yes.
Really?
Every inch of it, BK.
Interesting.
Every inch of it.
I'm learning so many things that are new today.
So many things make sense now. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the Axe Machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of me is Brandon Kiley. How you guys doing today?
That was a weird start to the show. I'm doing well. Right before we came on, before all this Axe conversation, the boss asked me my Mount Rushmore of Matt Damon movies. I thought Rounders, Good Will Hunting. What else would be on your list?
I'm not a Matt Damon guy. He didn't ask me because he knows I'm not the person
maybe,
to ask that question.
Oceans?
Yeah, maybe Born Supremacy.
All right. Born?
Yeah, fair enough. Move on. Talented Mr. Ripley, also really good Matt Damon.
Obviously, right? You didn't have a good answer to the question you got asked.
There were two obvious ones, Rounders, Good Will Hunting, and then you can figure out the other two.
Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we'll ask our one big question. In a neutral site, who would win, the 2019 Chiefs or the 2018 Chiefs?
The Departed, by the way, is the correct answer.
Yeah, The Departed certainly is in his top four movies. I want to play this for you very quickly. It is the Brandon Kiley Show featuring Therese Paylor yesterday. He said the big thing that he noticed yesterday with the Chiefs defense, or Sunday with the Chiefs defense, is they're not afraid of the Patriots boogeyman anymore.
A team tells you what they think about you based on how they play you. That's what they think of you. So if they're manning up your corners with one high, they don't respect you. Conversely, if their offense is breaking out trick plays, they think your defense might be more talented than they have the skill position. So I see the Patriots going to this gimmick stuff. I'm like, oh, my God. They don't think they could beat these guys straight up. And to me, at this point in the season, well, I'm like, damn, that's where we at? Okay. And trust me, football players know that, and they're going to see it. She see it, and they're like, okay, great, let's go. Let's go. Because I'm like, the Patriots, so they got to use this stuff to move the ball against Kansas City. And that is something we can't say we've seen in a long time.
I think that sports is the ultimate confidence type thing to do. And I remember one argument that we had last week is one, I would say, difference that we had all season is the concept of the Chiefs can do something as opposed to seeing them going out and do it. Last year, to me, was the year to establish, man, the Chiefs can be a contender. The Chiefs should be in this conversation. But on the field, against elite-level competition or against teams you thought you were going to see in the playoffs, they necessarily didn't match up and didn't win those games. I think that yesterday or Sunday against the Patriots was the ultimate, we think we can do something, we can do something, we went out and actually accomplished it and did it. And to Therese's point about not being afraid of the boogeyman, I think the Chiefs figured that out very early on. Maybe it's just an overall confidence shift. Maybe it's a culture shift. I know you're really big on that in changing the defensive culture. But I think when you have guys like Frank Clark fighting through the injuries and the illness that he played with, you have guys like Tyrann Mathieu, you have guys like Chris Jones playing at that level who are the on-the-field leaders and the vocal leaders, I think on Sunday we saw the transition between the Chiefs can do something to the Chiefs actually going on the field and actually proving it.
Yeah, the culture has clearly changed from last year. If you maybe describe last year's defense, I'd use words like old and slow and confused and outmatched and poorly coached. This year, they're fast, and at times they've been good enough to actually go up there and beat other teams. I mean, again, if you want to save the fourth quarter versus Tennessee, we're not talking about 2+ month sample size of this defense being really good. And a lot of guys deserve credit for that. Brett Veach for getting Spags for going out there and changing the scheme. My guy Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu. Like, there's clearly a culture change. And just look at the numbers. Last year at this time, they were giving up 26 points per game. Right now, they're giving up 21. They're giving up 40 less yards per game. This is what we asked for, and I'd actually say this is better than what we asked for. I remember we both said, let's give it a while. It's going to take a little bit of time with new leadership and new draft picks and new coordinators for this defense to become what they can. And right now I would say, C-Dot, this defense is better than I thought they'd be at any point this season.
I think that the Chiefs' confidence defensively comes and stems from a lot of different places. I would say, number one, it was a domination of the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots never at any point in that game provided a legitimate offensive threat. Not from Brady, not from Sonny Michel, not from James White, not really from Julian Edelman. Aside from that flea flicker play, Edelman didn't really have a big play in this game. So I think the confidence stems from we know defensively that we can match up against this team, we can impose our will, and we can be physical. The linebackers were hitting in ways that I don't think we've seen, and I think they were just physically imposing to the New England Patriots, and they played bully ball just a little bit. I also think the confidence from this defense stems from they did about as well as against Lamar Jackson as any team in the NFL, and they're one of the few teams to actually beat the Baltimore Ravens. Think about it. We've seen the Ravens go up against the best of the best. We've seen them play Buffalo. We've seen them play San Francisco. We've seen them challenge themselves on the biggest stage. Man, two teams have beaten them this year, and Kansas City is one of them, and the Chiefs did a decent job against Lamar. I think this defense draws a lot of confidence from teams that you're going to have to go up against in the playoffs. You've seen so far this year, whether it's Houston, whether it's Tennessee, whether it's New England, so you already have that sample size, and you've done a good job against who we think the one seed is going to be and probably the two seed in the New England Patriots.
Yeah, so if you have to play them again, you've already seen them, you've already slowed down their quarterback, and you've already beat both those teams. Because in all likelihood, if the Chiefs are going to end up in Miami in the Super Bowl, they're going to have to go through and to New England. They're going to have to go through and to Baltimore. And the big question, I think, heading into this game was, what about that streak? What about beating New England in New England? Because we've seen what happened a few years ago on Monday Night Football here in Kansas City. And yeah, you can say the Chiefs with Kareem Hunt went to New England and won that game a couple of years ago. That was different. You had Kareem Hunt. It was the first game in the season. Some crazy stuff happened. I think they finally did kind of take down the boogeyman that was not only Tom Brady, but Tom Brady in his own backyard. So you've already gone to New England and beat them. And as far as Baltimore goes, yeah, the last two times that you've beat the Ravens, both those games were at Arrowhead Stadium. But think about this number. Lamar Jackson, his career, is 17-1 versus every other team in the NFL. An 0-2 versus the Kansas City Chiefs. So at some point, you have to look at it and say, maybe the Chiefs are just a good and tough matchup for the Ravens wherever that game is played.
I think Therese makes a really good point. I think the Chiefs defense saw the trick plays as a sign of weakness. I think Chris Jones said it. Therese just said it. I think that the Chiefs defense saw New England as being weak and vulnerable when the only way that they could get the big chunk plays was running trick plays. That's not what Tennessee had to do to move the ball against the Chiefs. They just physically imposed, and their offensive line beat the Chiefs' defensive line, and Derrick Henry could run against the Kansas City Chiefs. They didn't need to do a lot of flea flicker reverses to get big chunk yards. I think the Chiefs' defense knew that they had the Patriots on the rope when that's the only way that they can move the ball, and I think they attacked. I've been big on this team showing toughness and throwing big punches. They threw a big punch on Sunday, and it was against the defending Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll answer our one big question. Who would win in a matchup between last year's Kansas City Chiefs and this year's Kansas City Chiefs? But first, coming up, the Patriots once again are cheating. We'll discuss it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll answer our one big question. Who would win a matchup between last year's Kansas City Chiefs and this year's Kansas City Chiefs? I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Stephen A. Smith, he's doing a countdown of his five most annoying people in sports. Do you think that Stephen A. Smith possibly has himself on the list? I think a lot of people would put Stephen A. Smith on the list of their top five most annoying people. This sounds like a Levine's list. How are you letting other people do lists, bro?
I didn't invent the list. David Letterman invented the list. He was the first man to ever come up with a list. I don't know if you knew that.
No, it's the Levine's list. We don't call it the Letterman list. It's the Levine list. How are you letting Stephen A. Smith do this? How do we trademark this where no other show can do lists but us?
I don't know how that works.
We got to find out a way to do it.
I wonder if he's got his...
Can you make that list your 10 most annoying people in sports? I actually want to know who you have as number one. I think you're going to have Romo at one.
You said it, not me. Do you think he has his ex-partner, Skip Bayless, on the list?
I didn't see the list. I couldn't hear the audio, and I wasn't that much time in between the breaks because we're losing commercials because we're about to get dropped from the station. But a lot of people would put Stephen A. on their top five. I did see number five. He did have the Knicks. I'm not surprised that the Knicks were number five. I assume James Dolan's going to be number one. He's the owner of the Knicks, if you're not familiar. Can you make that list for me? Can I make a personal request for it?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we will answer the one big question, who would win between last year's Chiefs and this year's Kansas City Chiefs? This might come as a shock to you. The Patriots are once again cheating.
No.
I know. I can't believe it either. I mean, they say once a cheater, always a cheater. The Patriots embody that more than anybody we've ever seen before. Even Tiger Woods thinks that the Patriots have a cheating problem. Like, that's how out of control it's gotten with the New England Patriots. Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith's buddy, he called the Patriots liars and cheaters, deceivers.
Well, this is the same sort of thing. They're using technology and with the same playbook. And if we don't call them on it, now, other people may also say, I've heard this argument, well, everyone's doing it. The Patriots are just clumsy at it. No, they're clumsy at nothing. They're excellent at it. You know what they say about roaches? For every one you see, there are 100 in the walls. You know what this means to me? That the Patriots, who are better at everything than everyone organizationally, this tells me if they're the only ones getting caught repeatedly like this, that they are doing stuff like this all over the place, all the time.
I actually got to agree with Max Kellerman there. I will say this, as someone who watches a lot of Law & Order, they talk about circumstantial evidence. And once you get so much circumstantial evidence, eventually you can issue a search warrant to search the people's car or premises. I kind of feel like that's what's happening with the Patriots. I don't know what happened in this scenario. Their story might be accurate. You know what? It was a miscommunication. We, didn't go through the proper protocol. Why were you videotaping 9 minutes of the Cincinnati Bengals sidelines? You're telling me that was information that was going to be used for the documentary? So Belichick, at no point with this information that you acquired from the Cincinnati Bengals, they were just going to erase it. They were just going to delete it. They weren't going to hand it to people that could use the information acquired. Come on now. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. The Patriots got caught cheating for, this has to be the fourth time. This is the fourth time they've been caught cheating.
As good as they are at everything and making sure they've always have their I's dotted and their T's crossed, it seems like they sure get caught a lot, which makes me think that they do it a lot.
Sloppy.
Because a lot like you pointed out, like, let's say, somebody gets caught stealing something. What's the first thing they say? That's the first time I've ever done it. Nah, bro. That's the first time you've got caught doing it. The chances that's actually the first time you did it is slim to none.
I'm with you.
Something tells me that the Patriots have done this before. They've done it often. And I wonder if between Spygate and now, if anything stopped or if they just stopped getting caught there for a while.
Man, they did this during Spygate. You mentioned this. This is a story from ESPN.com in the aftermath of Spygate. This is a five-year-old news story I'm going to read for you right now. During games, Walsh later told investigators the Patriots videographers were told to look like media members, to tape over their team logos, or to turn their sweatshirt inside out, to wear credentials that said Patriots TV or Kraft Productions. By the way, they said exactly that in this situation. The videographers were also provided with excuses for what to tell NFL security if asked what they were doing. They were told, tell them you're filming the quarterback or the kickers or footage for a team show. Man, it's the same playbook. They didn't change the playbook at all. They lost a first-round pick. They lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is Spygate. This is the exact same thing. You can spin it however you want to. You can pretend like it doesn't matter the way that Ian Rappaport did earlier today on NFL Network. Man, they're out here cheating again. They should lose a first-round pick. The dynasty should end this way. This is the perfect way, the perfect circle for all of this.
I understand that all crime is different, but I've never understood. If you're willing to take a penitentiary chance, I'm not robbing Jimmy John's. How much money are you going to get from Jimmy John's? How much cash are you getting from Quick Trip and running up in there with the pistol and saying, give me all you got? $200-$300? That's what you're willing to go to jail for multiple years for? You're willing to go to Fort Leavenworth over $300. That if I'm a cheat or if I'm robbing somebody, I'm going for the bag. If you're going to cheat, you had to cheat on the Cincinnati Bengals. That's what you had to do if you're New England. You're telling me that things have gotten so bad offensively for you that you felt like you had to jumpstart it by trying to get the signals of the Cincinnati Bengals? This is nasty. At least before when they were cheating, they were at least recording Super Bowl practices and walkthroughs. All right, we're in the biggest game. Let's try to give ourselves every advantage. You needed an advantage in week 15 against New England? That's what you needed?
First of all, don't rob any of those places. Definitely not a Quick Trip because they've got the best employees in town. And second of all, my favorite part, BK, that whole story you just told was when they turn their shirts inside out. It reminds me of, like, not this has ever happened, but you'll be wearing, like, some 6'10 gear. You're rocking a 6'10 shirt out or something, and then you're at the bar and you realize, like, you know what? I'm about to have a couple too many sodas. Maybe I'm going to, like, do something funny. All of a sudden, you go in the bathroom and you turn your gear inside out. Like, that's actually a pretty smart move. The rest of it, it's crazy to think that the organization that is the most careful and the most detail-oriented is the one who gets caught. Either you're doing it a lot, or somebody's trying to catch you.
Text line 69306, WEEI had call-ins earlier today. Callers kept complaining that they are tired of having to defend the Patriots' 6 rings against cheating scandals. All I could think of was that scene from Liar Liar where Jim Carrey said, stop breaking the rules, a-hole. Exactly! We keep calling you cheaters because you keep getting caught up in cheating scandals. I didn't make this up. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about it until Adam Schefter told me about it. It's not like I was out here deep throat trying to uncover some government secret here. The information just popped up on my timeline. And what's that saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. Whatever the saying is, you guys know what I'm talking about here.
You're almost there, yeah.
This is the fifth time with the New England Patriots. They created Gate. We never had Gate until the Patriots showed up. We never talked about this. Listen to what Adam Schefter had to say about it.
There was an employee from the Patriots. The Patriots were supposedly doing a feature on a scouting assistant, an advanced scout. They were filming him with a videographer. They had credentials from the Browns Media Relations Department. The Bengals turned them into the NFL. They didn't like it. The Bengals claimed that the Patriots were filming the sidelines. The NFL confiscated the videotape. The NFL is not commenting. So we'll wait to see where this all goes. But for the time being, we have everybody sticking to their respective stories. Wait.
I just want to point out that last week, you guys remember when Josh Shaw, the guy that plays for the Arizona Cardinals, whenever he got suspended for all of 2020, they said that they had to be tough on gambling because it damages the integrity of the league. Do the Patriots not damage the integrity of the league? Your model franchise, the franchise who has been in 9 of the last 18 Super Bowls, greatest coach of all time, that you are parading now on this NFL all-time 100 team where he's interviewing everybody. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. Don't the Patriots damage the integrity of the league? I just want to point this out. If this was happening in the NBA, it'd be a much bigger deal. People already don't trust the officiating in the NBA, and I know they had the Tim Donaghy scandal. That happened in 2002.
By the way, I have zero sympathy for Patriots fans now, coming off of Sunday when they were crying how, oh, the Patriots never get any calls. Man, get out of here. You guys are out here cheating and spying
filming
on the
calls.
Bengals.
That's what they're doing. They're out here filming the calls. Forget getting the calls. They're out here filming the calls. Let me ask you this. Who do you think is a bigger cheater? The Patriots or Adidas? I'm just asking. Who do you think cheats more, Patriots or Adidas?
Okay, I'm not going to answer that, but I will.
I'm just asking. Who do you think cheats more?
As a fan of somebody whose school has been tied up with all the Adidas crap, I understand what the WEEI caller's talking about. It does suck to have a cloud over a team when you've got Super Bowl or national championship aspirations, and then game by game, it's always this guy did this or did this happen? Is your coach going to be in trouble? So what funny business is going on? It does suck to be a fan of a team that has that cloud hanging over them. Takes one to know one.
It helps whenever you've won 14 straight conference titles or 6 Super Bowls in 20 years. Those certainly seem to help.
Just stop cheating. I don't call Kentucky basketball a cheater. I have no reason to think that they're cheating. I don't have any concrete evidence to suggest that they're cheating. I don't have any FBI testimony about how players got funneled to Kentucky. I got that for Kansas, for the Patriots. I don't call Seattle cheaters. I have no reason to think that Seattle was cheating. I've seen no evidence to suggest that they're cheating other than spite. With the Patriots, every 3 years, we have reason to believe that they are doing something that's not like little cheating. Like, to me, the whole ball thing was like little cheating. This is big cheating. They were filming the sideline of the other team.
As somebody who's pulled some shenanigans, I learned a long time
ago.
That if you're going to pull the shenanigans, if somebody catches you, you have to have a reason why, and a good reason. Even if you never use it, you have to have the reason ready. It felt like the Patriots weren't ready. Like, they got caught, and they go, well, wait a minute. What the hell were you doing? And Belichick, kind of filming the sidelines. It was the first show that we're doing. Like, dude, you better have a better excuse than that, or you're going to lose draft picks. And if the NFL decides to stack this one up on top of the original Spygate, it's going to end up actually being somewhat of a big deal.
You know, evidently, this is our production people on the TV show.
Okay, that we're there. Bro.
And I have absolutely nothing to do. We have absolutely nothing to do with anything.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure, bro. Uh-huh. I'm sure.
A whole lot going on over there at One Belichick Patriots cheating way. Yeah, a lot happens over there without his call.
This dude could be going 90 miles an hour in a 45, get pulled over. They're like, you know what you did wrong, sir? I don't really know what did it on Cincinnati. Like,
they were literally on to Cincinnati.
Dude, come on.
I mean, he sounds a lot like this.
Our story will be told to the NCAA.
Okay.
That's who he sounded like. He does not sound anything like that, man. That's exactly
he
who
sounds
he sounded
nothing
like
that, man.
Tell me he doesn't sound like a college coach that got caught. I mean, I got 85 players. I mean, how can I? I mean, I can't be where everybody is at one time. I mean, I can't govern everybody.
Our story will be told to the NCAA.
Okay. That's who his story is going to be told to. Belichick's story is going to be told to the NFL, and Self's story is going to be told to the NCAA. Coming up on the other side, we'll ask our one big question. Who would win on a neutral site game, last year's Chiefs or this year's Chiefs? We'll answer that question coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will get you a little fantasy advice with our guy, Benny Heiss, and we'll ask our one big question. Before we do that, it's time to play a special edition.
It's the game that's sweeping the city. We give you 4 options. You get rid of one. It's One's Gotta Go.
One of these things doesn't belong.
On The Drive.
We got an impromptu cheaters edition of One Gotta Go here. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but the Patriots are out here cheating, and they don't have any involvement in it. One Gotta Go, Sean. Cheaters edition. Barry Bonds, Lance Armstrong, Bill Belichick, Bill Self.
Dude.
One Gotta Go, Cheaters Edition.
Well, I mean,
you always love this game. Now you don't want to play? You love One Gotta Go. I'm asking you, One Gotta Go, Cheater Edition. Bonds, Lance Armstrong, Bill Belichick, or Bill Self?
No Sammy Sosa?
No, don't worry. We got more.
Don't worry.
We got more.
Well, it's okay. Bill Self, it's not going to be Bill Self because we're not completely 100% sure exactly what his level of cheating was.
You sure?
I don't want to ever say there's good losses because it remains to be seen if something good comes from this. But I hope we have the mindset that something can't good come from it.
Something good can come from this.
Okay. Yes, something did happen. To what level, we're not exactly sure, and that's my guy, so he's not on the list. Barry Bonds would be on the same list with, like, 50 other baseball cheaters. I don't see what makes him any different than a Roger Clemens or a Sammy Sosa. Bill Belichick or Lance Armstrong is what it comes down to, man. Probably Lance.
You're saying Lance has to go?
Oh, no. I think Lance is the one that stays.
Okay, all right. Yeah, all right, Lance, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. That's the way I play
however
it.
You
as if
play
I've never played the game once.
However you
yeah,
want to
play
it.
Yeah, that's how I did
it. All right, next up.
The one that's got to go is obviously Barry Bonds here. Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before the cheating. We don't know that about Bill Self.
Self got to stay out here, big cheating. All right.
Yeah, Bonds got to go.
Keeping it moving. One got to go, cheater edition. Tiger Woods, Rick Pitino, Pete Rose, or Bill Self?
Stop putting Bill Self in there, dog.
I'm asking a question here. It's one got to go, cheaters edition. I'm simply asking a question here. If you don't want to play, let me know.
No, I want to play.
One got to go, cheaters edition. Woods, Self, Rose, or Pitino? Who's got to go?
Well, Pete Rose only bet on himself. That's not that big a deal. Again, we don't know exactly what Bill Self did.
So no, we know. You want to know
Tiger Woods?
You want to know how I know?
Yeah, how do you know?
Story will be told to the NCAA.
Okay.
So that's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm sure it's, well, I believe at some point there will be some things, obviously, that can be released, you know, that could be public. But at this point,
he was lying his ass off.
I want to give it to Tiger Woods.
He was lying his ass off.
But correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Rick Pitino cheat on his old lady with another woman at a restaurant that was currently open and then also had the sex scandal go on into school? Like,
yeah.
I think he's probably the guy. So Bill Self's still sticking around. Who knew? Yeah, Bill Self. Are we done with this?
I got more.
Updated NFL report. Severe sanctions, quote, unlikely for the Patriots, naturally.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's how it always starts.
The Patriots have been adamant the, quote, mistake occurred independent of their football operations.
Think about all the different issues and things that we think we know about the Patriots, and the one that's actually gotten them in what you would say is the most trouble, Tom Brady may or may not have actually deflated a football a little bit. Like, all the crap that's gone on, and that's
Spygate.
The one.
I mean, Spygate guy, I mean. I would say
didn't Brady get suspended four games?
Yeah, four games. The first
that's,
four games.
That's a quarter of the damn season for the best player in the history of the league.
I mean, it was good. He came back refreshed and on the Tom Brady revenge tour. It actually ended up being a positive. I'll just play this one
more
time.
By the way, the Patriots should have to forfeit this week. They were blatantly cheating to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. They should have to forfeit this week and forfeit the fact that they have the 2 seed right now. That
can
should
you,
happen.
Can you imagine they end up being the 3 seed because they had to forfeit
they
because,
should.
They, because they were
cheating
against Cincinnati? That's just that.
I don't even know if that's how I want to become the 2 seed. That that feels just as dirty.
You mean
as
we don't
they
have
end.
The Chiefs don't have to see the Titans? That's the best way.
What a fitting end to the Patriots story. It kind of reminds me of, I always call it the Scarface moment, where it was obvious in Scarface when things had just gotten out of control. Like, you remember whenever Manolo comes in there and he's saying, man, we got to start spending money. Hey, here, go with my banker guy.
Yeah,
and Tony's like, no, I don't care. It's kind of obvious that it's over for the Patriots. Like, Sunday it was kind of obvious. They're not an elite team anymore. And then you get this cheating scandal the next day. The Patriots, if they were in any other division, they'd be 9-7, narrowly missing the playoffs.
If you just heard about this, though, and you didn't know about all the other stuff, Spygate, deflating the football, all the other controversies with the Patriots, then you would think that this is the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air adding Nikki, or, I don't know, the Brady Bunch when they had the cousin move in. Like, this is the beginning of the end. You can tell they're trying something different. They're getting creative. They're on their last breath. But we've seen it so many times before. I actually question if the Patriots have been cheating this entire time, we finally just caught them.
No,
again.
I think they 100%.
Jeff Allen, former Chiefs offensive lineman, makes a great point on Twitter. Just like Vontaze Burfict didn't get the benefit of the doubt because of his history, neither should the Patriots organization. I agree. Fold the franchise.
Fold the franchise. Do you think that, let's say that the Patriots go on to win the Super Bowl and then we find out, do you think they're going to maybe take the banner down
no.
or retroactively vacate it
they
like they might have
seven,
to do with
though.
KU? Like they might have to do with KU.
I knew where this one was going. But
I'm just asking.
No.
I'm just asking if that's what you think is going
to
happen.
We've seen that happen plenty of times in college basketball. It might actually end up happening to KU the way it did to Louisville a few years ago where they took down the Final Four banner. You know damn well you're just trying to rile me up because this doesn't happen in the NFL. They're not going to retroactively go back and take back the
They should absolutely
the Tuck
strip
rule
him
Super
of his
Bowl.
2007 season. That never happened because of all of the cheating that they've done.
I'm with you.
Vinatieri's kick never went through the upright
in
the snow.
I know. I'm with you. Okay.
The Tuck rule actually is it's going to go back. We actually sent the Raiders to the Super Bowl that year.
And they never came back against the Falcons. That didn't happen either.
I mean, they're basically going to treat it like Reggie Bush's Heisman. That's what I think
Seattle decided to run the football and not throw the interception at the end of the game.
It was a smart decision.
Okay.
Very smart decision. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get a little fantasy advice with our guy, Benny Heiss. But first, BK, one big question.
One big question.
Today's one big question. Someone made a good point. Why does it need to be at a neutral site? They could just play at Arrowhead. Touche. Tomorrow, we get a time machine where we can bring the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs back at this point in the season. Not week one, at this point in the season. And they go up against the current Kansas City Chiefs. Who do you think wins that matchup? Last year's team or this year's team?
Well, remember, the final quarter of the season last year, the Chiefs actually struggled a little bit. That's when they lost the game to Seattle. That's when they lost the game to the Chargers. So they're actually 2-2 in their last four games. That being said, it felt like for most of the season last year, they were more of a Super Bowl caliber team because of their offense. Everybody knows the numbers in the MVP season. They had Kareem Hunt for majority of the season. It felt like their offense last year was so transcendently good that eventually they could end up beating the Patriots. They could end up winning the Super Bowl because of just one side of the ball. And then the season actually played out. And we saw when the weather got colder and the calendar turned over to January and the playoffs started, they weren't able to run the football as successfully as they had in the past, and they still couldn't stop anybody on defense, and it cost them. Which is why, BK, I actually think this year's team is better than last year's team because they're a more complete team. Now, is the offense as good? No. Can they run the ball as good? No. But this year, there have been four or five, maybe six games that you could point to and say the defense, including this game versus the Patriots, the defense is the reason the Chiefs won that game. The defense has leadership. They've got a better defensive coordinator, and they seem more disciplined to me. So is the offense as good? No. Is the team as good? Yeah. I actually think this team is better and better built to win a Super Bowl than last year's team was.
So I agree with your last point that you made. I think that this team is more likely to win the Super Bowl. That being said, let's look at the matchup, for instance. We love to check the boxes around here. Let's go ahead and check some boxes. Sean, how many points would last year's team have scored against this year's defense?
30.
I think you're going way under what I would have expected. I think they score 40 points against this 40. Defense. Last year's offense was incredible. It was not great. It was not elite. It was one of the best in the history of football. It was historically great. This year's offense is merely good. It is solid. Most games you feel like they can get to 27. It is not great. It is certainly not historic. I don't think this year's team could keep up offensively with last year's team. And so for that reason, I actually think last year's team beats this year's team. But moving forward, I don't know how much that matters. I think this year's team, because of their peers in the AFC, is more likely to win a Super Bowl because I think the crowd is a little bit down. Their peers are not as good as they were last year. So I think they're more likely to win a Super Bowl this year, but I think last year's team was actually a little bit better.
Let's separate those two things because I kind of think there's two different points of who we think would win on a neutral field or wherever the game's played. And like you said, hell, we might as well play the game at Arrowhead if it's Chiefs versus Chiefs, or which team is better built to win the Super Bowl, because I think we can get that out the way. You agree, C-Dot, with what BK and I just said, that this year's Chiefs team is better built to win the Super Bowl than last year because of the defense?
I don't. Last year's team was elite at more things. This year's team is just good at more things. Like, I don't think this year's team is elite at anything. I thought the best argument was BK's argument really about the competition. It's kind of the argument we have about KU teams and are they down. Well, it doesn't matter if you're down. Are you down relative to the other teams in college basketball, and how does your talent stack up? I think that's the best thing. I think the AFC is more wide open than it was last year, and I think that last year's Patriots team beats this year's Ravens team. So I think this year there's maybe less competition that you're going to have to go through, and maybe with this defense you're better equipped. But if we're talking of a complete team and maybe like the height of greatness and what their ceiling was, I thought that last year's team had a higher ceiling, at least in my opinion.
69306. Curious what you think. Who would win a game at Arrowhead, this year's Chiefs team right now or last year's Chiefs team? I think because of the defense and the wild card is Patrick Mahomes, because, yeah, since the first quarter of the first game, he's had the ankle, and then his knee was on sideways, and he injured his hand the last game, and clearly Patrick Mahomes is never going to be 100% this year. There's a difference between what Patrick Mahomes is right now, and he might still be the best quarterback in all of football. I think maybe, based on what he's playing, the way he's playing right now, I might take Lamar Jackson just right now in a vacuum for the rest of the season, but then there's not a lot of other guys that I'd take ahead of Patrick Mahomes. Last year, he was the clear and obvious end of the sentence, period. If you chose anybody else, then you were crazy and flat out wrong. That's how good he was last year. So it's tough to go against last year's Patrick Mahomes, even though this year's defense is much better.
What would you say the identity of this year's Kansas City Chiefs team is? Like, last year's identity was, we're going to score 30 to 35 points, and there's absolutely nothing that you're going to be able to do right about it. We could lose Kareem Hunt. It does not matter. We're going to score 35 points. We can get into a shootout with anybody. Our offense is just better than anything you can do. And if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to score 41 points or 42 points to beat us. I don't think this year's team has that same identity where they can go out and say, this is what we do really well this season. But there's no denying that this year's defense is certainly more equipped to stop the offenses that are in this year's playoffs or that are going to be in this year's playoffs. My fear would still be if you go up against the physical team that can run the football, can you slow them down? Like, let's say they play Buffalo in the first round. Like, I'm not going into that thinking that they're going to slow down Devin Singletary, or if they play Derrick Henry in the first round. I'm not going into it thinking, man, this defense is stopped. We're not going to have to worry about it. I still think that the formula is pretty apparent to beat this year's team. I just think over the last 3 weeks, they've played teams that can't really do that formula.
That's a really good question. What's the identity of this football team, or how would you describe the 2019 Chiefs right now? Last year, you're right, it was really obvious. Offensively, we're going to beat you. We're going to roll the football out there. We've got better weapons. We've got the better quarterback. We're going to put up 45 or 15. I go out there and try to outscore us, and most teams couldn't. I think that this year, we can beat you in multiple ways. Now, it's not going to be as easy. It's not going to be as pretty. It's not going to be the smooth sailing that it was last year offensively. But see that we've seen this year, that the one thing that this team cannot do, I guess two things, run the football or stop the run. And with three games left plus the playoffs, I don't see that changing. But I do think this year's team can beat you in more ways than last year's team. You're talking about the offense. If it wasn't for the offense, if it wasn't for Pat, really, if Pat didn't go out there and throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns, the Chiefs were probably going to lose that game. We saw multiple examples of that. We've seen multiple times this year where Pat can be pretty average. Last game, the game before that, the game before that. And the Chiefs won all of them. So to me, that's kind of the MO of the 2019 Chiefs. Pat can beat you, but we don't need Pat to beat
you. The problem is I don't think this year's team can beat that MO. Like, that's kind of where I'm at, Sean, is I'm with you. There's only one way last year's team was going to win. I think it might be the only way, though, that this team can't win. And so that's kind of where I'm having to be between a rock and a hard place here of, I think the identity of last year's team was very clear, and I think that it's the Achilles heel for this year's team. I don't think this team in 2019, right now, given the way they're currently constructed, can score 40 points. And I think last year's team would have.
I think that so far, I can't argue with the numbers, right? At some point, it's just facts, not opinion. And the numbers last year offensively were better than this year's. I do think at some point, and I know we're getting down to it, three regular season games left in the playoffs. So we're talking about maybe five or six games left in 2019. Then we start talking baseball. I think we're going to see that offense. I agree, we haven't seen that offense. It's been a long time since Baltimore, hell, since Jacksonville in week one. Does that mean they don't have that offense? I don't think so. I think they're going to break out. Now, again, are they going to be what they were a year ago? No. But I wouldn't be surprised if against Denver or in one of these next couple of games against the Bears or something like that, we see the Chiefs' offense turn into what we thought they were going to be.
Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll all take a minute. But first, let's get a little fantasy advice with my guy, Heist. Fantasy advice with Heist is presented by Response Genius. Visit ResponseGenius.com and improve your organization's email, digital, and direct marketing results. Heist, always appreciate you coming on. Let's take a look at the next opponent for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Denver Broncos. Is there any fantasy interest as we're in the playoffs with Drew Lock or tight end Noah Fant?
You know what? It's going to be interesting, and I do want to have a little bit of exposure probably for a daily play if I'm playing in tournaments, but I don't think I can trust Lock or Fant on the road at Kansas City as 11-point dogs going into a matchup where Kansas City right now is vying for potential home field advantage. I think now that you have Lock on tape for a couple of weeks, and yes, he's coming back home, and Fant has been impressive, but really Lock last week was it really opened up a lot of eyes. And, you know, we talked about A.J. Brown and sort of the small sample size. You know, Fant is getting a lot of this after the catch. You know, he's averaging in that last game against Houston, he had four catches for 113 yards and a touchdown. Two of his touchdowns this year have come on these massive long plays where just nobody could find a way to tackle him, and he found some space in the open part of the field. So I don't know if I necessarily love it from a season-long perspective. I think there are better, safer plays where you want to make sure that you get the points for the fantasy playoffs. But certainly in tournaments, if you want to do, you know, a Lock and Fant stack and put it on the other side with Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce, I think there's going to be some points scored at Arrowhead this week.
It's time for some fantasy advice with our guy Benny Heist here on The Drive. All right, Heist, I want to ask you a question about the Chiefs' backfield, because last week, I was really excited about the opportunity that lied ahead for LeSean McCoy. There was no Darrell Williams. There was no Damian Williams. It was Spencer Ware and Darwin Thompson, a guy they had just picked up, and Darwin Thompson, who they haven't trusted all year. Are you trusting any, at this point, of the Chiefs' backfield options as real, legitimate starting options in a fantasy game this weekend?
No, it's something that we talked about live on the show last week. Like, you know, if you had to do the gun to your head scenario, there's just nobody that you feel really comfortable with. And I think if you had to choose somebody, it's McCoy, because at least you know you're getting 10-plus touches. With Thompson, I was happy to see that they incorporated him into the passing game, at least. He ended up finishing the game with 4 receptions on 5 targets at 36 yards. He can always break one free, and against Denver's defense, I think there's always that possibility. So maybe he's a slightly more of an upside pick compared to LeSean McCoy, who's just kind of going to give you a tiny little floor, and that's probably it. But if your fantasy season is down to this, and I know that the Chiefs are big favorites, and that usually leads to a more positive game script for running backs, you just don't know which running back it's going to be. Maybe Andy Reid says, all right, we have a big lead. Let's give Darwin Thompson more of an opportunity, and he runs free. Or maybe it's close, and Andy says, you know, I want to go with LeSean McCoy down the stretch because this is a guy that I trust, and we need to win every game out. It just doesn't seem like an advantageous situation for fantasy owners anywhere, and that's why I'm staying away from the Chiefs running game.
I wanted to ask you about Travis Kelce, because one of the things that we've talked about on the show is that he hasn't really had all year the big blow-up game. He hasn't had the 150 yards and 2 touchdowns in any game this year. In fact, his season high is just 107 yards. That was week 2 against the Raiders. I'm curious, Heis, from your perspective, from the fantasy perspective, would you rather have for the rest of the season George Kittle or Travis Kelce on your roster?
So you make some interesting points, BK, because we're right. We're still waiting for Travis Kelce to show that eye-popping game where he gets multiple touchdowns and gets upwards of 10-plus targets and just puts everything together. So when I was thinking about this question, I was trying to come to the idea of, okay, well, let's actually look at the full sample size of the year. Once again, at the very top of the list, leading all tight ends in fantasy points in PPR leagues this year is Travis Kelce, averaging 15.6 fantasy points per game, over 200 fantasy points on the season. That's ahead of Zach Ertz. That's ahead of Darren Waller. George Kittle is 5th. And he's also missed some time with injuries, but he's also 3rd on the list. He's a full point down behind Travis Kelce. So I think I'd still go Kelce because I don't mind the matchup against Denver. I know that, you know, occasionally you might be able to get some slot covers and you might get double teams in the middle of the field, but I just know that he's a pillar of consistency, and I'm looking for guaranteed points right now in my fantasy playoffs. I can't afford a dud. I can't afford an Alshon Jeffrey from Monday night where he has a dream spot matchup and he gets 0 points for you. So yes, Kittle could have the blow-up game, and he's more likely to probably at this point in a matchup against Atlanta. But I just know consistently week in and week out, I will get points from Travis Kelce. It just may not be the kind of points that's all of a sudden going to win your league by yourself.
We're talking with our guy Ben Heisler here on The Drive. Just a couple more minutes here with him. I did want to ask you about Patrick Mahomes because we saw him have the hand injury on Sunday against the Patriots. How concerned would you be about starting Patrick Mahomes in your fantasy playoffs?
There's very little bit of concern for me, unless all of a sudden the reports come out that he's missing a ton of practice, that the probable tag for Patrick Mahomes goes to questionable. You know, you're going to start to see reports come out, and we'll see whether or not those are going to be things that are discussed over the course of the week. But again, they're big favorites against Denver at home, and they don't have much of a running game to be able to balance things out on. So Mahomes was able to grit it out. He was able to put on a decent performance against New England, and I'm not concerned about it. So maybe that's just fool's gold on my part. Maybe I'm just looking at somebody like Mahomes in a very solid matchup where he's dominated the Broncos in the past and think to myself, he's got it. But to me, there's just no indication that he's worth benching for, say, like a Ryan Tannehill or a Jimmy Garoppolo. Both are in great matchups, but I just feel like if Mahomes is able to go, if he's able to play, I still think he should be able to put up really nice numbers against Denver this year.
He's Benny Heiss. He joins us each and every Tuesday and Thursday here on The Drive to give you a little bit of fantasy advice with Benny Heiss. Heiss, we look forward to seeing you again on Thursday, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, BK. Be good.
That is our guy, Benny Heiss. He is presented by Response Genius. Visit ResponseGenius.com and improve your organizational email, digital, and direct marketing results. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get into our cover two. We'll talk about Dayton Moore at the winter meetings, and we'll also catch up with Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports for the latest on Missouri hiring their new coach, Eli Drinkwitz. But before we do that, BK, let's all take a minute. I'm starting to be worried about Zion Williamson. Now, maybe some of you were worried about Zion Williamson for a long time because if you look at his body type, it's hard to hold that kind of weight and be as dynamic of a player that he is. But what turned out to be a 4 to 6 week injury could potentially not having him back until next season. And there's some rumors that Zion Williamson would just take a Blake Griffin year and not play at all in his rookie season. from Mark Stein. There's a strong belief within the Pelicans organization that Williamson will not make his NBA debut until early next season, and they have already said that they are not going to play him in back-to-backs whenever he comes out. I certainly hope that we get to see Zion Williamson. I was listening to Bomani Jones' podcast, and he was talking about the Rockstar Hall of Fame, that there are some players that will never go in the Hall of Fame, but our memories of them are so great that we'll talk about them forever. Like, Bo Jackson is one of those players. He's not in either Hall of Fame, but people remember the legacy of Bo Jackson. I would say Michael Vick is that player. Anytime there's an elusive runner, the way that Lamar Jackson is, that's who he gets compared to, is Michael Vick. Zion Williamson, I think, could be that kind of player. I think there was a time that Zion was the biggest thing in American sports. I certainly hope that we get a chance to see him at the next level. That is my minute for today.
When I think of people like you're describing that should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think of, like, you know, Milli Vanilli. Blame it on the rain.
I mean, I knew that was coming.
His career is going to be somewhere between Greg Oden and Blake Griffin, unfortunately. Like, he's never going to be right.
Pretty wide range. Either a consistent all-pro slash all-star or a guy that doesn't make it in the league past, like, year four.
But remember, Oden had the trouble from day one, and Blake Griffin didn't play his first season because of the knees, and that hasn't really been an issue since. So, yeah, it's a wide range. That's what I do for myself. I'm going to take my minute on the 150th anniversary of college football. Everybody knows that. And so ESPN's doing their 150 best college football coaches of all time. Now, Eli Drinkwitz didn't make this list, which flat out pisses me off. Nick Saban was number two. Bear Bryant was number one. Tom Osborne was number four. Have you seen this list, C-Dot?
No, I've not seen it.
Where do you think Bill Snyder should be? Top 150 best college football coaches of all time.
Top 15.
Completely agree. I think he should be top 15, top 20. ESPN has him at number 55.
Yeah, that's low.
What a disservice to a guy who completely turned around the program. For a while, it was an NFL factory, was able to recruit players to Manhattan, Kansas. 55? Come on, you're telling me there have been 54 college coaches better than the great Bill Snyder? Get out of here. And then I looked at the list a little deeper and saw they had Urban Meyer at 46, and he's clearly a top 10 greatest college coach of all time. So, very flawed list by ESPN.
For my minute today, I want to talk about the bet that Mizzou is making with the aforementioned Eli Drinkwitz. So, the contract was announced earlier today, and here's what happens if Eli Drinkwitz decided to leave Mizzou. He would have to owe Mizzou $6 million after year one, $4 million after year two, then 3-2-1 accordingly. That ain't a whole lot. Any other program in the country can afford to do that. So, if Eli Drinkwitz is really good and another program wants to hire him away, they can do so without much backlash in terms of the money that they would have to pay for Mizzou. The other side of this is very different. If Mizzou wants to get rid of Eli Drinkwitz, they're going to have to pay him 70% of whatever is left on the contract. He has a salary each year of $4 million. It is a six-year deal. If they get rid of him after year four, let's say, they're going to owe him roughly $6, $7 million. This is a bet that either Eli Drinkwitz is the answer at Mizzou, or he's so good at Mizzou that they are ultimately going to lose him to a bigger program. If he's bad, they're stuck with him for, at a minimum, 4 years at Mizzou.
Like Konzo.
Yeah, pretty similar. It's the bet that a lot of programs are making on these coaches at this point, but I don't think we've ever seen Mizzou make this kind of a bet.
Coming up in 5 minutes, we'll catch up with Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports to learn more about Missouri's new coach, and we'll talk about Dayton Moore as he is down at the winter meetings. But first, let's give you a chance to win a prize.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Today's pop quiz is a movie. Hit it, BK.
Search the house.
What is it you want?
The work has stalled. I need you to come back.
I won't do it, Krennic.
We were on the verge of greatness. We were this close to providing peace, security for the galaxy.
You're confusing peace with terror.
If you know what movie that is, be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610. Coming up on the other side, our cover 2 presented by Keller Fire and Safety, keeping the fire marshal happy since 1950. We'll talk about the winter meetings and the Royals, and Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports joins us for the latest on Missouri's next head coach. All that coming up is The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.